Santa Claus. Go straight to the ghetto. Hitch up your reindeer. Go straight to the ghetto. Santa Claus. Go straight to the ghetto. Fill every stocking you find. The kids are gonna love you so. Leave a toy for Johnny. Leave a doll for Mary. Leave something pretty for Donnie. And don't forget about Gary. Santa Claus. Go straight to the ghetto. Santa Claus. Go straight to the ghetto. Tell him James Brown sent you. Go straight to the ghetto. You know that I know what you will see, 'cause that was once me. Hit it. Hit it. You see mothers and soul brothers. Santa Claus. Go straight to the ghetto. Santa Claus, oh Lord, go straight to the ghetto. Fill every stocking you find. The kids are gonna love you so.
Yeah. You know what time it is. We can let down our hair, the moon is high, and we are lunatics now. It's deep into safe harbor. It's Dark 30, a special Christmas edition. I'm Vance Pollock on behalf of Joshua P. Warren, and now is the time you should turn off your radio if you don't want to hear some potentially outrageous material, because this is when we kick back, down a shot of hard liquor, and try to have some fun. And I'll be your creepy guide across the River Styx.
Abandon all hope.
My business is keeping the boys warm. In the studio with producer Sam the Animal Steel and investigator Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop and Nevermore Mystical Arts. Well, in Shelley Wright's business world, there's a lot of news, because Nevermore Mystical Arts is not so much a physical space anymore.
Right.
But it is in cyberspace.
It's in cyberspace.
Back and stronger than ever in cyberspace. Yeah. I understand that. Sometimes holding down the fort, there's a lot involved. The commuting, the upkeep, the inventory on display and everything. And it was great. It was great for those flesh and blood brick and mortar customers for a year.
Yeah.
But it's going to be so much burden off your shoulders.
Yes.
To go.
But yet it'll be bigger and better in cyberspace, 24/7.
And the personal support and everything that people have come to expect from Nevermore, you're still going to be there for that. If people need to consult with you or ask questions or get recommendations, you're still there for them, right? They can reach out to you through the website.
Exactly. Yeah.
And next door, the family is they've got things closed up for the holidays. They're taking a few days, a week off.
Week off. We always close the whole building down the week after Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they will not be back until January 2nd.
But on January 2nd, let's say folks have some Christmas money that they want to invest into something that's going to hold its value. Silver and gold,
exactly.
Silver and gold. Yeah, Wright's Coin Shop. And that's a place where, you know, you can get a good value for your investment. A lot of people look at silver and gold as investments, and that's fine. I mean, I look at a coin shop as a place... As a collector, I look at it as it is like a showroom to go in there and just see all this sparkly, shiny stuff, the art of the coins. And that's not lost on the people at your parent shop, because there are serious collectors. There are people who have their favorites and can talk all about the art of coins.
Exactly.
But then on the other hand, you don't have to be deep into that aspect of it to understand that precious metals hold their value.
They do.
And if you've got money, if you've got paper money just sitting somewhere, it's not holding its value. A dollar 10 years ago is what, you know, it translates to I think about it all the time. What is this? Inflation is just absolutely driving this money into worthlessness. It seems like you want to go buy a bag of fruit or something at the grocery store and it costs you $5. You can't hardly get anything of value for less than $5. And if you get a piece of silver, well, that's gonna hang in there. That's gonna be a wise investment. So there you go. Wright's Coin Shop, and when they reopen after the new year, that is on January 2nd down there at 1271 Sweeten Creek Road. That's a good place to go spend your money, invest your Christmas money if you were so lucky to come out ahead. I think I'm going to be flat broke come New Year, but that's okay because it's been a heck of a run. 2017, the year in review, it's been an exciting one for me. And I know 2017 was a big year for you, Shelley. Mm-hmm. You'll look back on it always as a big year.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, the best is yet to come.
Right.
I think 2018 is going to be much bigger.
What's the phone number down at Wright's Coin Shop, Shell?
828-298-5402.
298-5402. That's 828 area code for you folks who have got cell phones from out of state or are listening around the globe.
828-298-5402.
Wright's Coin Shop. And another recommendation I have is if folks have an estate. I mean, face it. I mean, it's sad, but you've got loved ones who have recently passed away that had a coin collection. It may just be pretty common stuff, you know, but Wright's Coin Shop will look it over and assess the value for you, make you a reasonable offer on it. And I think that's a service to people.
Mm-hmm.
I think, I mean, in a time where you really don't want to have to think about it, it may make you a little bit sad to think about this, but the coins don't mean so much to you, or you could use the money. Mm-hmm. Wright's Coin Shop is understanding and respectful, and they will give you an honest valuation on that stuff. So I think that's another fine service of Wright's Coin Shop. Look at it any way you want to. It's the best little coin shop in Asheville over 40 years. So, yeah, check them out. 1271 Sweeten Creek Road. That's off exit 50. Did I get that right?
51.
51. Why do I always mess that up? Exit 51 and a mile or so out. Off Interstate 40. Oh, goodness. Christmas time. An elderly couple said that 60 pounds of pot were Christmas gifts. A couple from York, Nebraska were arrested with 60 pounds of marijuana in their truck, and they told officers that the drugs were meant to be Christmas presents. The couple were arrested by York County Sheriff's Department after they were stopped for traffic violation. And the officers found bags of marijuana in the Toyota Tacoma driven by an 80-year-old man and 83-year-old woman. They said they were driving from California to Vermont, and the couple was being held in York County Jail on suspicion of felony drug charges. So they were just driving some gifts, bringing some gifts from California back to their friends in Vermont.
It's a pretty good, thing to have, you know, 80-something-year-olds driving the weed, though.
Yeah.
I mean, if they weren't being so reckless and doing whatever they did to get pulled over, probably would have worked out fine.
Yeah, they, it doesn't specify what that traffic violation was, but a couple of octogenarians driving
smoke billowing weed out their windows like Cheech and Chong. You know, here's another story that was kind of clustered in with that one. Did you hear about this in Munich, Germany? You know how, like, the Europeans, your wife being Icelandic, right?
Right.
You know, like, the Scandinavians, Europeans, they're a lot, we're way ahead of us as far as you know, alternate power methods, you know, wind power and heating and stuff. You know,
oh, yeah.
There's that thing in Sweden, I think, right now where they're taking, like, all the excess heat from those big computers and they're funneling that through water to, like, you know, heat up all the water for the town. They're crazy stuff. But in Munich, they're actually using the heat from 550 kilograms of marijuana that they were burning at a waste incineration plant on Tuesday to power the town. Customs officers decided to have the cannabis destroyed in the plant due to a lack of any other facilities that could accommodate such a large-scale incinerations. They had hooded and armed customs officers guarding the truck, which had an unusually large quantity of weed in it. And the customs spokesperson said, "For us, it's just rubbish that needs to be destroyed," which is kind of interesting. When they burn it, it's 900 to 1,000 degrees Celsius. In a sense, they said, beneficial for the public because the incineration material used to generate heating and electricity for the people in the region.
Interesting.
Yeah. they said 4 million joints could be rolled with it.
Good Lord. Whoa. I'm wondering if they couldn't have sold it to, someplace that, where it is legal. I mean, would that be unethical?
They did say it was very unusually high quality Albanian weed that was coming at like 15% to 18% THC.
Well, couldn't they have exported it to some place where it was legal? And then, I don't know. But at least they found a way to use the heat produced by 4 million joints worth of marijuana.
I mean,
burning.
It's a little tough, but
guys, I know we had pizza and now we're having coconut cake here in the studio, courtesy of Miss Shelley Wright, but I totally dropped the ball. I should have brought you the Icelandic delicacy, rotten shark.
Oh, well, I thought you were going to bring that up for a while ago.
Oh.
My wife went up to D.C. to visit her sisters who had flown in from Iceland to do a little Christmas shopping, and the girls had a Christmas shopping weekend couple weeks back, and her sisters brought her fermented shark from Iceland, and my wife's been snacking on the rotten shark around the house.
So she opened it up, like, does it freak the house out?
Yeah, absolutely. You can smell it when you walk into our house. That's why we don't have guests. It smells like rotten shark.
What's
in our
her
house.
Morning breath like?
Oh, yeah, I think I'm numb to it. We went over to my cousin's house, American Cousins. My American Cousin, wasn't that the play that Abraham Lincoln got shot at?
I think that was a Patty Duke show.
But we went over to my cousin's house for Christmas, and there were a lot of, just regular, good old American-type people there. And
we busted
out this rotten shark, the Icelandic delicacy. It's kind of like a traditional flavor in Iceland. It reminds you that when you were a Viking, you would eat anything you could get your hands on to survive starvation. And basically, that's what it's an ode to, a tribute to.
One of the only things that makes lutefisk taste good or seem like a good idea.
Makes Andrew Zimmern's gag reflex go in.
The durian.
I
so wish I would have brought Rotten Shark, maybe for New Year's, the New Year's episode. Rotten Shark on nice. Speaking of Strange. Let's take a little break and talk more Dark 30 when we come right back.
Run, run, Rudolph, Santa gotta make it to town.
Always good to hear Christmas wishes from our friend Lemmy on Speaking of Strange.
If we actually heard Christmas wishes from Lemmy, it would be pretty strange because he's dead.
Yeah, from the spirit, the Christmas spirit of Lemmy.
Shelley, can you see if you can summons Lemmy into the studio?
I bet I could.
I would like to have a chat with Lemmy, the spirit of Lemmy. He would make a good Christmas spirit. I mean, like the Dickens Christmas story, you know, he would make a good Ghost of Christmas Past, I think.
Or future.
Well, we were talking last week. I mentioned it. This was me. It could have been completely wrong, but I mentioned that in American tradition, and I think it's still partially true, that we don't have like a mythological, we'll say, villain. But, yeah, I got to thinking about it, and we got the Grinch, and we got Scrooge, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think those characters kind of represent the anti-Christmas, bah humbug.
Wasn't there like an evil snowman, too, or something? Am I just, like, thinking weird stuff?
In the Rankin Bass, Rudolph... stories. There's like the abominable snowman that Hermie, the Christmas elf, pulls his teeth. I always thought that was kind of sad. The gummy, abominable snowman. That by the way, has been my son's favorite stuffed animal for years. Not just around Christmas time, but he's carried this Rankin Bass abominable snowman around with him since he could walk, and he's now 8 years old and still carrying a stuffed abominable snowman around.
Check
with.
That out. I don't have one of those.
Yeah, they're pretty cool.
I have a lot of stuffed animals.
Yeah, his abominable snowman even got a baby abominable snowman a couple of years ago at Hallmark. They had these little stuffed animal snowmen. So his abominable snowman has a baby abominable snowman that we call Fluffy Face.
Aww,
a Fluffy Face. Maybe I'll get Jesse to bring Fluffy Face by to see you.
Yeah.
Sometime, Shell.
Actually, I might have one of those.
We got, what do you got for Christmas theme stuff? Here's one. This is depressing stuff. I mean, I warn folks, and I think most people, like I say, speaking of strange, it's the dark 30 hour. People don't usually wander in here by accident. But if you're not familiar with how we roll, third hour of Speaking of Strange on a Saturday night here on WWNC, well, it gets a little dicey, we'll say. Sometimes the content is a little bit, distasteful to some. It's a little edgy.
Blue.
Blue. Yeah, maybe it's not your thing. If you don't want to find yourself offended, aghast, then maybe you want to tune out. But this one, to me, is just sad. Man who put up the famous Burlington, Ontario Christmas light display dies after a fall from roof. Doug Musson has been decorating his home with holiday lights for more than 30 years. It's like a local institution. He put together a brilliant Christmas display that covered his home. He died Monday after falling from his roof while trying to fix a leak that was affecting the display. He was up on a ladder trying to find out why water was dripping on the pathway, which might drip on visitors to the display when the ladder fell, said a statement posted on Masson's famous Christmas display website. Yeah, he's such an institution that has its own website. The statement said that Doug Masson was 82 years old and died shortly after in the hospital. He started decorating his home with lights in Calgary before moving to Burlington in 1976, and he had been adding more lights and figures to his display each year. Some photographs of it. It is quite a phenomenal display. I remember in Lakeland, Florida, where I grew up, there was a neighborhood that around Christmas time got the reputation of being Christmas Tree Lane. I can't tell you now as an adult what street that was, but around Christmas time, the only time I ever remember going to that neighborhood, it was always covered up with lights. I mean, there are literally millions of Christmas lights on this block, and it was just Christmas Tree Lane. Yeah, I want to go for a drive down Christmas Tree Lane. Do you ever remember going out to look at the Christmas lights as a kid, Sam? Was that a...
I have vague recollections of, you know, like our church in Florida was probably a good 30-plus minute drive each way, and so we would go through, like, a lot of areas to get to St. Pete. And I remember, you know, like, going off the beaten path sometimes to go past, like, a particularly large display here or there. Back then, you know, like word of mouth, maybe it was in the paper or something.
Right.
Yeah.
Shelley, does your family go in for Christmas lights in a big way? Your dad ever decorate the house up
never.
On the outside?
No.
We always had like maybe one little strand of Christmas lights around the eaves of at the front door, and that was it, you know.
I mean, we had, you know, lights on the Christmas tree, but yeah, Dad, Christmas time, he was at the coin shop and working hard, and we did not do lights on the house.
Wow.
Well, it's funny that you should talk about the lights, because there was an article on Vice this week, and you know, I've made it no secret, my hatred of Bob Dylan. I loathe Bob Dylan. But I read this article, and it made me chuckle, just the absurdity of it and the way that it was really well written by a girl named Meryl Marco. I believe she or her family lives in Malibu, where Bob Dylan has a home, and he's like a couple houses down from her. And so she has been doing this thing for a couple years now where she's been writing these pieces on Bob Dylan's Christmas lights. Because the first year, it was one strand. Just one strand of lights, and it kind of like was like a floppy line, like not really straight at all. It's kind of like, And then the next year, it was a different shape. Then like the year after, it was two strands. And so she's got all this. And so it's basically, you know, it's all steep drops and modest inclines. And so it says that like anyone else who has ever attempted to grasp the totality of Dylan's porous mind wonders if there are deeper wisdoms just beneath the surface or the decorations arranged to resemble a chart. Does it capture the year's highs and lows from Dylan's Nobel speech to the hurricane that devastated Puerto Rico? Is it abstract art, maybe in tribute to Arshio Gorky? Or is Bob Dylan just a weirdo who gives enough of a crap that gets, it's coming. But, you know, he's not going to, like, hang up a bunch of lights, you know. But it's just they're so pathetic because it's like this mansion in Malibu. And on one wall, it's just like a strand of light.
At least it gives you the feeling that he did it himself.
I mean,
he could have hired somebody to put up an amazing Christmas display. But
just picture like the how weird that would be to like see Bob Dylan standing on a little stepladder, like dressed in all black,
taping one end of the lights up to a.
Like these are the lights this year, 2017, Dylan's lights. It's like, it's a strand. This one's actually the biggest year yet. It's like a couple of strands, but going back to like 2014 and stuff, one strand.
That's not bad. That's better than I could do, probably.
No, better than you could do, Vance. It's one strand. It's just longer than it was in years past. I don't know. At least they're colored. I mean, if you delve into what that means, you know, like some people are colored, some people are like we were always a white Christmas light family. Then you had like flashing, no flash. We were never flashing. We were like a white light, no flash.
Right. Here in the last
Are you 10, a color guy
10,
flashing?
15 years ago it became popular to have the white lights that look like icicles hanging from the eaves of the house. Yep. Those kind of were in vogue
for a little
while.
With LEDs now, you got so many options.
Right.
And you got the things that like spray onto the house, so it's like, you know, it looks like a ton of lights, but it's really just like one of those balls that has like a lens on it.
Yeah, I was more just cheap string of colored lights, you know.
Flashing?
Red, gold, and green. Or whatever color no flashing lights, just very boring. Maybe even the old bulb lights the from the ones. 70s.
Those were so hot.
Speaking of strange, we'll be right back. Speaking of strange, Joshua P. Warren, speaking of strange, of course, you always check up on what the big man's doing, JPW, Joshua P. Warren at joshuapwarren.com. No period after the P, joshuapwarren.com. He's got his daily talk stream podcast, what have you, going on. Shelley, are you keeping up with Joshua's daily broadcast?
Oh, yeah.
I honestly, Josh, haven't caught all of them. I'm a working man. I've been working for the county libraries lately. I can say that. I think I'm proud of it. Working for the county, and I'm proud. Working in the public libraries, and I feel right at home there. I'm never so happy as I am when I'm surrounded by a pile of books and just the look on a patron's face when they get their hands on that book they've been waiting to read. And the kids carrying out armloads of books. I don't know what it is. I mean, I think there's, to me, books represent something a little less fleeting than, I love technology.
The kids start reading enough.
Yes, I love technology. But yeah, just the whole cyber aspect of information, I like to hold it in my hand. I like information that I can fight off an attacker with.
It's like recently I downloaded a bunch of these vintage magazines that mm-hmm. I used to have when I was a kid. Like they were Big Brother skateboard magazines.
Okay.
And they're hard, you know, they're expensive to buy now. And so somebody had scanned all these magazines and made them available for download.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sitting on my laptop flipping through them like a magazine. Like, but if I had them in the house, I would have read them all. But it's just not the same, you know.
Yeah.
A good book. I'm reading Bruce Springsteen's biography right now.
Okay. Yeah. That's why you're on kind of a Springsteen
I'm
kick.
On a big
you're reading
Springsteen
the bio. Huh?
Yeah. It's called Bruce.
Yeah, you were checking out
Little Steven
doing his version of the Ramones'
Merry Christmas
song. Yeah, that's cool stuff. Here's some strange news. I mean, this, to me, it's just a little bit mind-bending. Maybe the circumstances are... Maybe it just doesn't strike you as weird, but to me, it's just bizarre. Woman gives birth to baby frozen as embryo for 24 years. This is Knoxville, Tennessee, just over the border, an hour and a half from here. Tennessee woman gave birth last month to a baby girl who was frozen as an embryo in 1992 when the mother was just a year old. So she's giving birth to a baby that's basically as old as she is. Tina and Benjamin Gibson became the proud parents of Emma Wren on November 25th. Emma weighed a healthy 6 pounds, 8 ounces, measured 20 inches long. These are all just regular birth announcement kind of things. But see, they had Emma through the National Embryo Donation Center, a faith-based embryo adoption program in which couples hoping to conceive are paired with embryos that will not be used by their genetic parents. The NEDC said in a news release that it has received donated embryos from all 50 states as well as foreign countries. A baby counter on their website tallies its live births at 686 babies. Emma was frozen in October 1992 when Tina, the mother, was 18 months old. Okay. There's no genetic or biological connection between the mother, I guess. She's like a surrogate mother or whatever. Anyway, the embryo existed. This Emma was conceived in October 1992 and implanted 24 years later. But I don't know.
You're confusing me.
You get what's going on here.
I don't.
You do get what's going on. This baby was conceived. The embryo was frozen 24 years ago. And now, just like a couple weeks ago, mother, who is basically the same age. Yeah, it is. That's why I'm saying it's hard for me to fathom this. I mean, maybe not. Maybe other listeners are like, yeah, so what? It's basically a live child, a conceived embryo. Yeah. Frozen for 24 years. Pretty bizarre.
That sure is bizarre.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah, that's all I'm going to say about that.
Should I read the story about the husky kid?
Well, let me throw out a headline here. I'm not even going to try and make sense of this story. I just want to throw out my favorite headline for the week. You ready for this? Beetle penises may hold clues for better medical devices. There, just putting that out there.
All right. Check. Duly noted.
Yeah, now you can talk about this gentleman with some issues.
The husky kid. This is just down the road, I think. Where's Forest City, North Carolina? Is that
Forest City
near Shelby?
Is just this side of Shelby, right?
Yeah. So I'm picturing this at like the mall by the cookout, I'm thinking, is probably where this took place at. A 9-year-old kid, I won't say his name just because he's 9, you know. He's already had his feelings hurt by Santa, who, for the record, is not a svelte fella. You know what I'm saying? You know, he gets down the chimney with care, but who knows how? I mean, chimneys are smaller these days. A lot of them are fake. He's a tubby dude, Santa. Well, this kid, 9 years old, is at a holiday event in Forest City. He decided to sit on Santa's lap. You know, he's 9. I guess that's still appropriate.
Yeah.
Me and Vance do it. It's looked at as a violation of our probate. But, you know.
I'd sit on Santa's lap.
I know you
but
would.
But not that Santa.
Just a guy named Santa Diego Rodriguez. Anyway, so he tells Santa that he wants a drone for Christmas. And as he was getting off Santa's lap, Kris Kringle told him to lay off the burgers and the fries. So the kid told reporters that really disrespected him. He felt awful, went out, and started crying because he felt so bad. Now,
bad
I am not,
Santa.
I am by no means advocating bullying. I hate bullying. I don't like that at all. I like don't like violence, but I do like seeing bullies get retribution upon them, you know? But, like, you know, so the mom was just as upset as her son. She demanded that Santa be fired. Santa did apologize to the kid. Maybe he just thought that it was for the best. He resigned. Santa resigned. So now, I guess, in Forest City, there is no Christmas.
Wow.
I hate to tell you that. If y'all are picking this up on your iHeartRadio apps or whatever, there's no Christmas in Forest City.
Yeah.
I doubt
you
that.
Kids down there in
Santa
Forest
resigned.
City,
it says right here, Santa resigned.
It was only a fake Santa.
There's no, somebody, whatever.
Somebody else will step up to the plate. Somebody nice.
Somebody who? That's not Santa?
Well,
whatever,
some other
Shelley,
nice little stand-in
you're
Santa.
Talking, you're talking foolishness.
No, there is no room for bad Santas.
Taken as we have it, I feel like there's two sides to every story. Maybe there's more to this. Is it appropriate for Santa to advise a kid on his diet?
No,
he should have kept that
to
himself.
His place. It's not his place to do that.
I mean, there's a funny way to do it and a mean way, and he did it the mean way.
There is not even a funny way to do it.
There is. I'll do it during the break.
For a 9-year-old. I mean, I don't care if you're Santa. Just leave it alone. You know, don't talk about it. Just leave it alone.
To be fair, though, the kid could have lost a few pounds.
Oh, stop.
What? I'm just saying. I was looking at the picture. He's
well,
nine.
There are
he's
some
nine.
Chubby little kids.
He's
nine. Does that mean that it won't?
I'm saying he could eat some greens is all.
I don't think it's appropriate for Santa to you know, bombard this kid with insults or things like that. Ever. But have you ever seen some total brats out in public?
Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. Oh, who hasn't?
I mean, I have
no way of knowing if this is a fact, but what if the kid was a total whiny, screaming, obnoxious?
I'll tell you what I do, Vance. I give him that look that says, like, your mom and dad can't help you now, kid. I'll just give them that look until they cry. I do.
Okay, well, that's acceptable.
Oh, wow. I've had a fun time tonight. It's almost over, but we'll hit you with one last blast when we come back from this break. Guys, I don't know when we've ever done a faster 3 hours of radio. It just flew by tonight. I think maybe you guys have got me into the Christmas spirit. Thanks a lot, Sam, because it's hard for me to be jarred from my what's a good curmudgeonly ways.
You're misanthropy.
Yeah. Shelley comes in with coconut cake and pizza. And Scott Lunsford spends the first hour with us, brings a couple really cool books that I'm excited to dig into. by. And Sam starts dropping Christmas bumper music. And I think you've finally broken me down. You've worn me down.
I'm with you. I don't like the holiday season that much myself, but I too feel a little more. That laugh you hear there is a guest, a friend of mine.
Who'd you drag in here?
It's Craig, man.
Hello, Asheville.
Merry Christmas, Craig.
Merry Christmas, Asheville, and all of you. And you know, we were saying time flies. When time flies, you know you're in the groove, and that's when you're on it.
We were grooving tonight.
We were grooving tonight.
Grooving on Speaking of Strange. I need to call Josh and see what he's up to. When have you talked to Josh, Shelley?
Yeah, I don't know. He's in Las Vegas. He's winning all this money at the casinos.
I have rumors. I'm going to go ahead and circulate these rumors, unconfirmed, that one of my former coworkers has now got about $250,000 worth of cryptocurrency.
It might be worth a million tomorrow, and it might be worth $5 the next day. You don't know. They've had a big thing with there was an insider trading in the crypto market, and there's been some a North Korean hack.
Now, apparently, this friend of mine didn't have his in Bitcoin, but he had it in one called Verge.
Okay.
And that was a big mover in recent weeks.
Lithium and
did you hear about the dude that was busted for actually selling? He was actually on the streets selling physical quote bitcoins to people. if you're that dumb, so whatever, go for it.
Well, Vance, I've been saving this story. You want to get to?
Yeah, I want to go ahead and offer one last disclaimer. If you're easily offended, tune out. Kids, this is not for your elucidation. Sam's been holding back.
Have been holding back. It's like, you know, I have
only in Asheville.
I have told management for so long now that I've been disabled and like that I need to get on disability here at work, and they have not wanted to hear it at all. And they're like, "You're fine. You're a healthy young man." And I'm like, "No, I'm not. I have a condition." This guy is. You know, it was very similar. So I think this, I can ride.
Now there's precedent.
There's precedent set. So I can go back to management and see, like, see, Roberto Escovillo Cabrera, he's on disability in Mexico. You might not notice that name, or you might not recognize
it. Well, everyone knows Mexico's healthcare is awesome.
Well, I mean, apparently, and this guy, he's not in the Guinness Book of World Records. Why? Because they don't recognize what his feet. It's not actually his feet. That he's famous for.
But it is an
appendage. His 18.9-inch long dong. 18.9. Almost 19, Vance. Almost 19.
Might as well just call it 19.
We'll just call it 19. He's got the biggest penis in the world, and he's hoping to get recognized by Guinness. But now he's registered as disabled because of his huge penis. He's famous because of it. He's happy because of it. But the gargantuan size means that he can't have sex because of numerous reasons. He can't squat. I mean, I've got a bad knee. I have to be careful when I squat. But see, now I have precedent. And I can go back to human resources and be like, look.
So.
What?
Is it functional?
No, it's not really functional. He has to wrap it in bandages to keep it from chafing. He started when he's 57 years old. He started when he was a teen, stretching it with weights.
Ah, here we go.
And so he would do this and it would tear and then it would heal.
This was all over the internet.
And then it would tear and then it would heal. And much like making a muscle, you know, like you tear the muscle and that's what makes it bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Except he did
but
that.
But nobody wants that inside.
Nobody needs that. It's gigantic. But now it's attracting the attention of some porn companies who want to get in on that action. They're flying them around and they're being like, "You can be a star, Roberto. You can be a star with that thing."
Not necessarily endorsed
and
by
iHeartRadio. Anyway, I'm going home to look for my weights.
And let that be the star on your Christmas tree this year, Roberto.
I can see you doing that actually.
Yeah, sets a precedent for Sam's disability claim.
I need a payment.
Wow.
It's tough living like this, Vance.
It's a good thing you ran that disclaimer.
Shelley, Wish everyone a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
She remained silent during the whole thing.
Merry Christmas, Shelley.
Thank you, Joshua P. Warren. Thank you, Brian Hall. Thank you, Mobius. Thank you, the other Joshua. Thank you, Aaron. Thank you, content people. Thank you, Scott Lunsford, for coming on this evening. Merry Christmas, dear Speaking of Strange fans. Have a good one.